And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here along with Rock God Rick Mexa. Beautiful Southern California day here in November, just before Thanksgiving, and right next to the San Diego landings with Captain Brian Kuehara from the American Angler. The American Angler comes to the dock tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Unloading a nice load of all kinds of stuff,
yeah,
right?
He had good fishing. The yellowtail fishing was tough. His day of yellowtail fishing was yesterday, and it blew out of the southeast pretty good down there.
Yeah, so kind of back into the storm.
Production wasn't as great yesterday. Yeah.
But he's got a lot of wahoo tuna.
Wahoo tuna, big bluefin, the whole gig.
So. Nice.
You were talking about the openings going forward, that there's some spots, you know, both this month and the next two on 10-day trips. And 8 and 10-day trips are always known for the variety. Do you still see the variety as you get later into the year, or does it just start to focus on tuna and wahoo like the longer trips used to, or do you still see the Dorado and the Yellowtail too?
Yeah, there's Dorado and Yellowtail too. You know, there's times where, with the closing of Bonitas and Cedars and stuff, Yellowtail at times are more of a commodity.
Okay.
But it's like we still have opportunities to catch them.
Yeah, that's cool.
On one of these 10 days coming up, whether it be a December or a January 10-day, you'll still see all the variety same variety you would see in October.
Yeah, we'll fish for yellowtail coming up, that's cool. Coming home and stuff like that.
That's one of the funnest parts about those trips, too, is all the other stuff. Like, sure, you're hoping to catch a wahoo and catch that off your list and maybe get lucky and catch a big tuna, but, we happen to be on this part of the coast, and the weather happens to be good, so we're going to slide in here and catch calico bass for a couple hours.
Sure.
We're going to make a rock cod drift and catch something for lunch. Like, those are some of the funnest times on those trips.
Yeah, absolutely. After, Pacific Queen, there were times where it was Groundhog Day every day. It was kind of doing the same thing. Oh, we're fishing albacore, or we're fishing bluefin. But, that's the advantage of longer trips. Every day is different.
Yeah, mix something in.
Yeah, instead of watching the same channel, you get to change channels.
That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you have a great text, huh, Rick?
I thought so. It was from our buddy Eric Sheets. And
Eric
said, having fun. I agree with what you guys said earlier. My favorite part when Brian's on the show is hearing about the old school RP days. Really looking forward next year to going on a Ken's Custom Reels 10-day trip in the fall with Brian. And I'm happening to leave this Friday for a 10-day with Aliar, and was hoping you could tell a fun story from back in the Royal Polaris days with having Cal on board the boat.
Oh, just I think he was on Timmy's first long trip that he ran, and I believe it was the first trip that we used the kite. And I think we had like 32 over 2 and 7 over 3.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
And you look at Cal's picture book. I don't know if he still has it on the counter at the shows, but a lot of the pictures were from that whole time frame. And, it was still monofilament days, so poor Cal would, we would have 3 or 4 backups. We'd have one in the bow and a couple leaning against the bait tank, so it's like, Rick, do you want to throw your brand new 50 in the ocean? If you do, we'll clip it on and throw it in. So,
how much hesitation was met from anglers when you posed that question?
We never had a single person say they do not want to throw their gear in the water. And but poor Cal, here this thing comes up soaking wet. And it's, hey, Cal, can I buy you a beer after dinner? It's like, so where that's leading. Yeah. So, just Cal
have the workbench out after dinner all night.
Yeah, whereas nowadays, Ken, when he's on the boat, real repair master, just like Cal, it's very rare.
Yeah.
That something's going wrong.
That something's going wrong.
Here, Ken, help me out.
Yeah, the gear's better. Yeah. And, we still have a backup set up, but the amount of gear going over the side is not nearly the amount that it was back then.
All the times you threw gear over the side, and I've had my gear thrown over the side a few times too, did you ever lose one?
No.
Never lost one.
No kidding.
We've lost the fish.
Sure.
Lots of fish, yeah.
Because they get stuck in the bottoms, especially during spectra days, because the line sinks. And if you have too much line out, the line gets stuck in the reef or gets stuck in the bottom. But, no, we were always fortunate enough not to actually lose the rod and reel itself.
I just think there's so many years I would have thought, you know, I mean, like, I know that you're so good at that not happening, but I would have get, you know, something's got to go wrong. That's a very impressive stat.
I remember 1 year Pete Haynes snagged a manta ray swimming by at the Lunker hole, and three backups later.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like finally I think Frank was driving. We pulled the anchor and we went to go retrieve all the.
The assumption I'm guessing was not that it was a manta ray.
Oh, that it was some caught
the one.
Yeah, this is the one.
We got the 400.
Of course, Pete was going, "This is the one. Come on, man."
Oh, yeah.
How many O brothers and O doctors were uttered during that time?
He's quite the character.
But the interesting thing was when the backups, they always had like two lobster floats on it, and so it was pretty secure. So even if it went away and broke off, it still probably floated back up.
Yeah, we had one time where the fish went off the edge and took the lobster cork so far down it compressed the lobster cork.
Wow.
And so we had to get straight up and down on our backup gear just to get it off. You know, with scope, it was like an anchor, you know, it's hard to pull. So we had to pull our anchor, get straight up and down on it, and then we got our outfit off the bottom.
Wow.
That's cool. Pretty cool.
I love it.
Well, hey, 833-288-0973. Let's go ahead and jump in the phones.
Jason in San Diego is up here next with us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Pete, Rick, Captain Brian. Loving the show, like always.
Thank you.
Love the American Angler. What a great boat.
Right on. Thank you.
Question is, though, for Brian. What's the longest trip and the biggest fish you've caught, and also the craziest and wildest thing you've seen on the water?
The longest trips that we used to do was back row player stays, 23-day trips to Clipperton.
Wow.
The biggest fish that I've ever captained was a 398-pound tuna.
Whew.
Dave Manella. This isn't counting all the big blacks and blues that we used to hook down there, those giant marlin that we would release. And the craziest stories, I got a million of them. pertaining to what, Jason?
Oh, I don't know, wildest fish catches, blow up.
Yeah, we were talking Wahoo that. When we went to Clarion to Hurricane Bank from Clarion, and no one had been there for all year, and we were going in and out of Wahoo, stopped for 40-50 apiece, and got 278 in 5 hours. That was
5 hours.
That was good fishing.
What?
How about that big tuna, that 399? What do you remember the story with that?
Yeah.
What he caught it on him, and all that where he
was
at.
Yeah. So it's. We were anchored northeast of Clarion. As we're sending the kite bites out, there was sun like there is today, and I could see these big cows underneath the kite bite, underneath the kite baits going out. And I remember Dave is an attorney, district attorney from Los Angeles. He's a small guy. And so his kite outfit was a fifth standard 50.
Okay.
And so he hooks this one, and it's taking line, this and that. And this is also a humanity story of how bad we can be. So anyhow, it goes up the side, goes underneath the anchor. Rollo grabs his thing, puts it under the anchor, gives it back to Dave. He's in his harness. The thing, you know, like how when we get older, there's chance of heart attacks and strokes. The thing dies.
The fish does.
And so all of a sudden, he's just straight whining. And I remember Dave Ikeda Sueno was with him. He goes, "Hey, get a gaff." And we're all like, "Wait, what?" And we all look over the side. We didn't grab a gaff. And here comes this close to 400-pound fish bobbing straight up and down. It's like, holy cow. And then we gaff the thing. We bring it over. It's stone cold dead.
Really?
Wow.
Heart attack.
Yeah. Really?
And so you did all the IGFA things, 398. It's the biggest fish that's been caught in, you know, since Kurt Weisenhunter, the whole thing.
The biggest fish of the fleet.
And there is a passenger on the boat that was jealous and called the IGFA in Florida and told them that Rollo had the rod in his hand.
Because he helped him under an anchor line.
Because he helped him under the anchor line. That was way before cell phones and stuff. So remember the old dock phone?
Yeah.
So between trips, Brian, you got a dock phone line one. So I go up and I answer, and it's the IDFA.
No way.
Yeah. He goes, did you see a crew member have the rod in his hand? Yes, I did. So they disqualified him.
Which always, that just grates me
so
much.
Why would somebody do that?
It's humanity.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
We all look.
I mean, it was just going under the anchor. That's not. But that's kind of one of the silly. I mean, it is the rules.
Yeah.
But still.
But we all have that. Yeah. In us, you know, all of us. You know, we look in the mirror that we could all improve.
Yeah, I guess. But that seems.
That would get.
That's
me
a little.
That's
the biggest one.
Yeah. So Conrad in Lakeside says, running the American Angler, what decisions have you made? You've seen fellow crew members make on their trips that you're proudest of?
Just becoming a better human being. A better human being and being selfless and all that. I've seen a lot of my crew members grow.
I'll bet.
You know, come on as kids and leave as men.
That's cool.
You're
fishing with your crew. You know, I mean, you guys, it's very clear. It's clear that you and Ray share that, and you see the family atmosphere that you guys create. It's very clear that you guys are very tight with your crew. But talking about this wahoo fishing that's happening right now, and you guys are catching them with kelps. Who's got the eyeballs? Who's the crew member to be beat when they got the pipes up to their eyes to try to find kelps?
Brad Morgan. He's been with us a long time. He's definitely the best when it comes to kelps. You know, finding fish. All the crew on all the boats.
Yeah.
You know, doing this kelp fishing. Everyone's on their toes because I can't tell you how many times we had this kid, Adrian, on the boat the last trip I was on, and he had the touch. His gig was full speed wind till 5 feet from the surface and stop. And just looking over the side from the bridge, I saw him probably get 10 bites.
Really?
You know, where a wahoo just comes out from nowhere, eats it, takes two winds, and the kid's gaff.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, where the fish is gaffed even before it even takes a run or anything, but it's because all the crew members
on it.
Yeah, on all the long range boats, you know, they're all excellent.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones. 833-288-0973, a line open there.
Mike and Rosemead is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for picking up my line. Hey, Brian, what do you consider the border or the dividing line between fishing inshore and offshore? That's my question.
Yeah, you know, it's a gray area. When I personally go fishing, it's not inshore or offshore. It's both. It's just fishing's fishing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the offshore fishing knowledge is gained from inshore fishing. So for the guy that has a touch fishing spotted bay bass and watches his line tick or could feel like tick through his fingertips, they're the best fishermen. You know, because just they have the feel and they have the touch.
Got
so it's as far as where the demarcation line, I couldn't tell you because it's all fishing and it's all good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right.
That's a great answer.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Again, 833-288-0973. Have a good text.
I thought so. It says, Brian, what was the toughest lesson you learned as a young deckhand, and how did it change you? How did it change the way that you operate as a captain today?
Finding the fine line between cockiness and confidence is the toughest thing for a young man growing up. Because, you know, it's growing up, you know, it's you're in your late teens, early 20s, you know, you're everyone no shirt on, sunglasses on, and after a while you think you know it all. But having the ability to keep an open mind and realize that in the big picture, we don't know anything.
Right.
You know, the longer we do things, the less we know. So that was the toughest thing growing up was, you know, determining the fine line between cockiness and confidence.
Interesting.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Good text here from Steve in Escondido. He has a lobster question. And he says, hey, guys, another great show. My question for Brian, does he see any correlation to the moon cycle with lobster take? If he had a recreational lobster out of Mission Bay, when would you go?
I would go whenever you can.
Yeah.
You know,
moon doesn't phase it.
It does. You know, and there's some of my peers that they swear, oh, it's tough fishing this and that, but we've got plenty of lobsters during the full moon, and
yeah.
You know, we've had plenty of tough fishing during a full moon, so it's easy to. The fish are more active during a full moon. You know, there's all kinds of...
And dark of the moon, too. You've had probably tough days on the dark.
Same gig. And it's just the same with the white sea bass thing, same with the bluefin thing. The moon is the...
Yeah. There's something to blame.
The biggest variable involved, you know, the whole current tides, that whole thing. So
what... Is there ever a time when you're on your lobster boat, when you're going out, it's like, oh, they're going to be full today? Is there ever a condition like that?
Yeah.
Like, what's that condition?
Usually calmer. It depends upon the depth that you're fishing. You know, the shallower you are, obviously the calm. But there's areas like when there's surf and swell, it's like, you know, you move gear out deeper, or you're just like, oh, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, unless you untie, if you untie your skiff or sport boat or whatever, and you don't have the belief that you're going to go kill them, why untie the boat?
What are you doing it for?
Yeah.
It's fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know.
But I think I'm going to get it every time.
Yeah, you have to. Or why would you untie the boat?
Absolutely. Yeah. But what makes them crawl? I mean, what conditions make them? You can't figure that out. What makes the fish swim into this spot? You can't figure it out.
Yeah, there's so many variables that we have no idea.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of the perspective that I've gained, which is minimal compared to a lot of people, is under the water. You know, from scuba diving or free diving and seeing what the fish do or how they act.
Yeah.
It's the guys that spend a lot of time under the water, they have a very good perspective of the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, for those of us standing on top, you know, you can only see down 15 feet or whatever. And, you know, so you're judging conditions or this and that. But what's the water like 30 feet down?
Right.
And how are the fish acting? And it's my experiences through free diving and stuff. It's just opened our eyes of how much we don't know. Growing up on the Royal with Tim Ekstrom especially, we used to have a mask and snorkel and fins on the bait tank 24/7. Someone's fish getting under the boat, whatever, we could dive and get it out. But any cool things, whales, big tuna, wahoo, we had the opportunity to, like, jump over the side and check it out. And, you know, so you learn a lot about lateral lines and you know, fish's behavior and stuff. Chunks, when they first came out, it wasn't cool to fish with a piece of catfish bait, right? So nobody chunked. But we were chumming chunks.
Sure.
And they would walk all the way up the chunk line until you got this 275-pounder spinning circles at the gate. Then maybe like,
becomes very cool all of a sudden.
I'm going to try a chunk. But we, during that time frame when we first started doing it, we would jump over the side. And we would, like, you know, be 15 feet away from these 275s, eating all these chunks. And they would eat every, like, little piece of gut or everything except for the ones that had a hook in it. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of your eye, four or five wahoo appear. And the next thing you know, it's on. They got to eat everything. And so the competition level, that's when... They would eat a chunk that had a hook in it that didn't look right. You know, they didn't have time to think. It's like,
I got to eat that before somebody else.
Yeah, does. If I don't get that candy bar, Rick's going to get it. I better grab that thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's cool. And as you know, as we talked about too, is the surface is so different than the bottom sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It could be, you think, oh, it's going to look like this on the bottom, and it's not necessarily.
Back in the abalone days, you know, it's diving Point Loma. Water 70 degrees blue into the beach current, cow bass flipping 49 degrees on the bottom. When you go past the thermocline, it's just one of those things. It's like when Brian Woolley talks about sinker fishing, it's like, do you ever grab that sinker and feel how cold it is?
Right.
You know, that type thing, or you touch a fish and unhook it, you're like, wow, this fish is cold.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones. 833-288-0973.
Paul in La Jolla is up next here joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Paul, good morning. Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Brian, I'm on your April 9th 8-day trip. I was just kind of curious what to anticipate.
We're hoping tuna fishing at the rocks. You know, the whole time I was on the Royal and on the Queen and stuff, it was a 12-month year-round fishery. And We're hoping that there's tuna fish at the rocks, because historically in the springtime, that's when we see the best yellowtail fishing. whether it's on the ridge or at the rocks. It's just the temperature's a little cooler. And a lot of times it's world-class yellowtail fishing. And so back in the day, these eight-day Alalis Rocks-type trips, current going south, we'd anchor North Ridge, and we'd be scratching, you know, 30 to 50-pound tuna, and then your next bait, you're catching a 25-pound yellow. It was pretty much the ultimate in anchor fishing for quality yellows and tuna.
The best yellowtail trip I ever got to go on in my whole life was with Steve Loomis on the Royal Polaris, and it was an April 8-day trip.
Wow.
And it was the most big fish, both at the rocks and at the bank, and everywhere we went, they were all big ones. And it was a time of year that, like you say, somebody associates the best fishing with the summertime, but it was April and, like, cool April,
yeah.
And it was the best. It's the best I've ever, ever, ever got to see.
April can be a good month. Do you have run trips in April on the American Angler?
Yeah, we have two of them this year.
Two of them?
Yeah, we have an open party one. And
8-day?
8 days,
yeah.
And we have a charter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Because it can be good for a lot of things. Yellowtail,
yeah,
tuna.
A lot of different things. Yeah, and just the way it's been going the last couple of years, there's been sign of that tuna fish. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool. Sure. I had a very fun question. It says, Brian, can I ask you to tell a story or two about the albacore era and what it might look like at the landing if it ever happens to us again? I was taught by our mutual friend, Fran Kennedy, world record holder. May she rest in peace. That was from Phil in Orange County.
Frances Anastasia O'Connor Kennedy.
Okay.
She was an awesome lady. Awesome. She was the woman's world record holder for a while in 84 when that fish came in.
Of albacore?
Albacore.
That's the fish that's on the wall at the tackle store, right?
Is it? I don't know. There was a gene something.
Okay.
And I remember Frances.
I could get old stories mixed up, but I always remember as a kid being told that albacore was caught by a lady angler, and I think that at one time at least was a world record. So I could be getting my stories mixed up.
Yeah, she was awesome.
That's rad.
She was an awesome, awesome lady, and she loved fishing. She loved fishing, and you know she was our cook on the Mustang when I first started.
Oh, cool.
And
really?
Yeah, she great, great lady.
How long have you been doing this, Brian?
1983 is when I first started.
How old were you?
High school. Got my license when I was 19.
19 years old. Wow.
It was fun hearing Chris Yamada share stories about fishing with you on the Mustang. And
so I met Chris.
That was up in L.A.?
They were transient boats back then. So we would fish 9 months out of the year, weekends, up in Pedro. And then 3 months out of the year, we would just live down here on the boat. And so Chris's wife, I had a crush on for years. And her dad was like the Highliner Buddha Head captain, George Mio, that used to drive a boat called the New... Built the New Hustler 2, which is still in service today.
That's right.
And so I would fill in and work for George when we didn't have trips on the Mustang. And I remember a trip that Chris Yamada came out. And I was so jealous because that was Mark. They're married now.
Yeah.
But they were boyfriend and girlfriend, and I was so jealous of the guy. Because, you know, Marlene's a few years older than I am.
I love
it's
that.
Just like, so, you know, 17 years old, a few years is a big difference.
Yeah.
But Chris was excellent back then, an excellent fisherman. I remember he trolled on the way home and caught like an 80 or 90-pound big eye. We stopped the boat on.
That's correct.
And he got a nice big eye, I remember, on the way home.
How cool is it that he bought CalStar and is
it's awesome.
To the next level?
It's awesome.
He's so good for the industry.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's articulate. He's got it all. And, you know, lucky for all of us,
exactly.
All the listeners, it's we're fortunate that he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But we need him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And
he's got
and,
the passion.
Yeah, he's doing it just, you know, because he loves to do it.
And doing it the right way. It's so cool.
Yeah, and we're just all lucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And making it better and better, and to still have John involved.
We talked about it yesterday. It 9 times out of 10, a business acquisition like that goes a completely different direction. Somebody buys it. How can I maximize the dollars I'm going to get out of my investment? And I'm going to take the rods and have them made overseas, and they'll be good enough, and all those things. And, like, that's 100% the opposite. Like,
but to hear his history, especially with you back
this.
In the day, I mean, it's
one
not,
of us,
it's not a new thing. This is he's been doing this a while.
So on the Royal Star, they used to do fly down flybacks from the Cape. And we had just bought the Pacific Queen, and they had a few openings, so me and my wife went on Royal Star, and Chris was on the boat. And we had just started chunking. It was early 2000s or, no, it was late 1990s. And so I got up early, and I kind of was chunking up some mackerel and kind of throwing it over the side. And out of the corner of my eye, down there purple, I just see this big one.
Big
just,
flash.
So I did drink a couple, you know, drink my coffee a little bit more and throw a couple more chunks, and I could see this thing down there. And so I nonchalant, I go up to the rail, and I get my rod, and I'm pinning on this chunk. And we're like, what are you doing? I'm out, nothing. And I throw it over, and everyone looks over the side, and there's this 300-pounder. and this thing comes up, and the thing, I watch him inhale the boat. My line goes, tick. And I put it in the gear, and I start winding, and this thing spit it out.
Oh.
Now the thing's spinning circles, eating chum still.
And everybody's
so,
on.
So, yeah, so we're there with our gorilla gear, you know, these big leers and giant 9-0 hooks and stuff. And Chris saw what was going on. That it was no longer, like, eating. He got his sardine gear, a little 4-0 hook and straight 100-pound. Buried his hook in the entire chunk, and he hooked it. and he ended up getting it was like 310 or 309. Jeez. That same fish that it was like,
wow.
And so, yeah,
wow. Chris, he's a heck of an angler.
He outsmarted me, the fish, the whole gig, and was taking the picture with that thing at the end, you know, a few hours later.
That's so story. Cool.
That's cool. Hey, with that, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It's time for that FishDope.com report with the angler's realtor, Yosef Husseini, today. That catch report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get a premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest in customer service. Stop by their location on Old Town and Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make your reservation today. We got him. Yosef Husseini is on the line. Good morning, Yosef.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show today.
Thanks, buddy. Having fun.
Good. There's a ton of squid around. So squid's showing up kind of everywhere right now, Santa Cruz Island, Anacapa, coast of Oxnard, all the way down to us here near Oceanside. I'm going to start a pop near Santa Monica Bay. There's tons of squid. There's still good fishing on the El Segundo Pipe. Sculpin, Sheephead, and Rockfish. Redondo Canyon is also fishing very well towards Palos Verdes, deeper water stuff. But really good rockfish fishing. Same thing coming down the coast. It's mostly good rockfish. And Catalina is still, on and off. It is mostly deep water rock fishing now as well. There is still some stuff on the front side that you can get a little bit of the 3Bs action, but the weather kind of blew a lot of it out. We're hearing about sea bass showing up at the checkpoint. Over a 14-mile bank area. We don't have any visual confirmation. They're just rumors, Danny said. And then La Jolla, same kind of deal. There is squid around. Not a lot of reports, but we should be hearing some yellowtail and sea bass stuff here soon. Going offshore, there are bluefin still at the Cortez. The boats whacked them good yesterday. These are smaller fish. They're mostly in the 15-pound class. If you're lucky, you'll get a 20 to 25-pound fish in there. And there's still big yellows on the high spot at Cortez. They're catching those as well, mostly live squid stuff right now. But it's still biting good. As far as the islands go and the rock pile, it's very slow. It's all rockfish kind of stuff right now. There is still some tuna down south. The lower 29 block and upper 28 block, that's where you're seeing these counts coming in of yellowfin, about 175 to 225 miles away, right around the Ranger Bank area, but it's still biting really good down there. And it's the end of November, so
we'll take it.
Continuing, and we can keep some of these fish around here. But there's still stuff out despite the weather. Tuna's still around.
Yeah, gotta love it. And how's the real estate game?
It's going nuts. With these rates kind of lowering, and they're kind of bouncing right now, low sixes into the high fives and back to the low sixes. But Q1 of next year, we'll see some steady action of lowering, hopefully. But the market is gone. People are trying to get in and get things sold and buy new houses before, you know, the rush starts here, which we're starting to see. There's some properties are getting multiple offers already. So it's awesome. Right around the corner.
Awesome.
It's moving well.
How was your hunting trip?
It was amazing. I tagged out after I texted Ricky. I didn't shoot one that day, but I had another buck come in about 2 or 3 days later, and I smoked it, and I got a doe. So two of us tagged out. Ollie got a decent buck, and we were happy. We had a good time out there.
What kind of deer were you shooting?
Whitetail.
Whitetails. Very nice.
Whitetail deer in South Dakota. Yeah, we're South bow Dakota. Hunters. So
that's awesome. Buddy. Yeah, congratulations.
We're butts off until we can kill someone.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, Yosef's a true sportsman for sure, fisherman, sportsman for sure, and great at the real estate game. And how does somebody get a hold of you if they want to gonna do some real estate business with you?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can also get me on social media at The Angler's Realtor. My website is sportsmansrealty.com. If you'd like a free home evaluation, you can go to socalhomeeval.com.
Thanks, Yosef. Appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate that. And that's, of course, get $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Fishdope.com, HOOKUPNOW is your $30 code.
Hey, I want to remind you the Bill Varney 2026 CCA calendar is now available at your local tackle store or at surffishtackle.com. And one lucky caller or texter today's show is going to win that calendar as well as a full-day trip to go fishing with Captain Cameron on board the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing. When we come back, we got more of your phone calls, more text messages, and a whole lot more fun with Brian. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
When you're pursuing big game fish, the right gear is essential. Not just the rod, reel, and line, but the right pair of binoculars, too. So upgrade your gear to the best pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right there at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? Fujinon Stabiscopes are the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon Technostabi TSX 1440s deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters, perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which ones are right for you. They even have compact and lightweight Fujinon stabilized binoculars for your next vacation or hunting trip. You know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars, so get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
Experience the magic of Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada, at Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, breathtaking scenery and wildlife, warm community, and truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge. Just steps away from the Sandspit Harbor at Haida Gwaii Safaris, you will be fishing pristine, unpressured waters for Chinook salmon, halibut, John Lean cod, and more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty and wildlife. All of us at Haida Gwaii Safaris have exciting news. We now have our own charter flights to and from Sandspit out of Vancouver, making your trip easier than ever. We pride ourselves on creating unforgettable adventures that turn the first-time guests into longtime friends. You will come for the fishing and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please call 1-877-815-2892 or visit us at qcsafaris.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Haida Gwaii Safaris, where unforgettable memories are made one catch at a time.
Hi, Bob Hoos with Costa Sunglasses. If you've got young anglers in your life who are just getting hooked, Costa's got something made just for them. The new Next Gen collection is built for long days on the water and takes Costa's iconic performance for smaller faces. Check out Schoolie, Costa's first 8-base wrap for smaller profiles, and Street Heat, a bold everyday frame with micro side shields that keep glare and spray where they belong. Help the next generation see what's out there and protect what's out there. Available now at CostaDelMar.com and select retailers starting at $130.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or the all-electric Lightning, find the truck that will meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, the 2025 Super Duty, the rugged Ford Ranger, and the versatile Ford Maverick, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here with Captain Brian talking American Angler today. Again, if you want to join us, there's still time to get through. 833-288-0973 is the best way to do it. Or send us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, hey, got a nice text from our friend Eric Cord with Department of Fish and Wildlife, the head of enforcement here in Southern California. We've had him on the show several times. And just
he's
a super, super good guy. He says, just wanted to give a shout-out to Brian, whether you're talking to him as a commercial lobster fisherman or as a charter boat captain. He's a pleasure to work with and is always professional, respectful, and supportive of wildlife officers. It's greatly appreciated. And that's what everybody should do. That's a model that should be for all the wildlife officers.
Even, you know, everyone looks at Fish and Wildlife, oh, these guys. It's like they're there for our benefit.
Absolutely.
To help us out, you know. Yeah. And if you walk the line,
what are you worried about?
Yeah, what are you worried about? You know, and it's it's these guys. I think the majority of the population doesn't realize that they go through so much time and effort to catch the wrongdoers or catch people that, and their court cases, like here in San Diego, go to the local DA.
Yeah.
So here it is, like it's lobster season. So if they catch somebody hooping with legitimately 20 shorts. You know, I mean, one here or there, obviously it could be a mistake, but, you know, they catch guys that are, like, well over limits with shorts. They do their job, but then it goes to the local DA here, and she's dealing with drug dealer, you know, domestic abuse, this and that. Then all of a sudden somebody shows up in court with 20 lobsters, and to them it's like, well, it's a waste of my time,
so
and just $1,000 fine, don't do it again, that kind of gig. And it's like, you know, Eric.
It's frustrating for the officers.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're working so hard to enforce that.
Yeah, so there's got to be a way or somehow where they get more support from, you know, from the court system and stuff like that. Because, you know, they're out there doing their job, and, you know, but once it's out of their hands, it's out of their hands.
Yeah. And the problem is that the violators know that. It's like, well, hey, I can sell, you know, all these lobsters for a lot more money than that $1,000 fine, right?
Sure.
So that's and that's frustrating for the lobsters.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So respect those.
Oh yeah, you know,
respect the laws, and that's why we have such good lobster fishermen.
Yeah, they aren't going out there.
They're doing the job.
Yeah.
And that guy didn't grow up as a child like wanting that job because he wanted to bust you for doing something wrong.
Yeah.
They're outdoorsmen, and they're people that have the same interests that all of us. It's like you don't choose that career path because you want to write tickets. You choose that because you're a sportsman and an outdoorsman, and you got respect for the same thing that all of us do.
Right. Steward of the ocean.
Totally.
Yeah. No question about it. Yeah, and we're very grateful for him, too. Thank you, Eric.
Well, speaking of another guy we're grateful for, here's a fun text, and it was from our buddy Dart. He said, in all my years as head of SAC, this is Bob Fletcher, as in all my years as head of SAC, Brian was one of the very best masters and boat owners that I had to represent, and I was honored to call him my friend. Loved all my time as the SAC boss working for the boat owners of the SAC fleet. And he said, thanks very much for everything. That's from our buddy Bob Fletcher.
Thanks,
cool.
Dart.
Yeah, thanks, Dart. I got a great Bob Fletcher story since we're talking about lobsters, because Dart and I went out hooping one day, and I keep my boat over at Fisherman's Landing here. And this is when the old building was still there. Mm-hmm. So how long ago was that?
Almost 15 years
15 years ago. Okay, so we're coming back from hooping, and we had a great night. We had limits, and we're coming up with our cart up to the top of the dock. And from both sides of the building come Department of Fish and Wildlife officers, like Fish and Wildlife, or I think it was Fish and Game back then. We want to see your game. And they thought, oh, here are these guys sneaking in, right?
We got them.
We got them now. And here I am with the former deputy director of the Department of Fish and Game, right? Bob Fletcher. We're all legal. I would never even think about, and of course, Darwin never would either.
How many shorts did Darwin have?
But anyway, we had a nice chat with him and a good laugh with those guys.
That's
and,
cool.
It was cool.
They saw you sneaking into a little back
sneaking dock into a little back spot. Yeah.
We got these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Dart Love, you know, he represented Zach and all that, but he truly loved fishing.
Oh, he loves fishing.
He would come out with us all the time on the Pacific Queen.
That's right. And so enthusiastic on the rail, too.
And he would come up, and this is back when we first got Stavies, you know, we're looking for birds down with Stavies, and he'd bring his pair of Zeiss out, his 750s, and he'd be up in the house, like, trying to help his glass.
Hell
or
yeah.
Not trying, he would help his glass for fish, and he just loved all aspects of it,
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back on the phones. You want to get through? Still a little time. 833-288-0973.
Chuck and Dana Point is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Chuck, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, happy early Thanksgiving, you guys. And now that we got this fishing processing, a lot of us will have fish for Thanksgiving, you know. That's cool. But, you know, Christmas came early. My son made the cover of Western Outdoors.
Hey, congrats.
I look at Western Outdoors and get teared up.
That's him with that big old yellowtail?
Yeah, that's my
boy.
Wow,
I saw that.
Giant.
That's awesome,
the theory.
We've been fishing for 30 years, and finally made the cover. It's just, that's like, man, the pinnacle of fishing to me.
That's super cool.
Never thought we'd make the cover, but what a fish, huh?
That's awesome.
We got like 8 nice mason jars out of that thing. Nice. What a fish.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's nice. Yeah, it's kind of like a rock star making the cover of Rolling Stone, right?
You bet, you guys. Enjoy the show. Always listen. And thank you for all the info.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Have a great season next year, guys. Thank you very much.
Hey, Dan in Santa Cruz has a great text here. I heard the American Angler is one of the more friendly boats on the folks who want to do vertical jigging. Does Brian have any guidelines as to when he'll ask folks to put the jigging equipment away and avoid tangles and conflicts with others?
Never.
Never.
Our cooks are jigging fanatics. But I would say not only the American Angler, but all the boats encourage it. You know, whether we're fishing for bluefin, rockfish, whatever, it's definitely an effective method.
That's cool. Yeah, and it was wild to me to watch how different that gear is from what we had been fishing, but still how crazy effective that is in the hands of a guy that's good at pulling with that type of tackle, how fast some of those fish are being caught.
Oh, they
wind up. You look at that rod, you know, with no context, like, man, you're in some real trouble here, bud, and 2 minutes later, there's a fish ready to have a gaff put into it.
God, I'm up the side with these young kids, and it's just like, oh, no. This comes a fish, 100-pounder, just hot, just like, oh, no.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I thought this was a fun text as well. It says, good morning, guys. What a great show. I'm listening right now as I fish in the bay. I want to say Brian made a great impression on my life and the first and only time that I got to meet him. I fished to San Diego back before the limited load days, and Brian was on the boat with his young son. He was 2 rows back behind people, threw a bait, and hooked and handed me a fishing rod. He went right back to his son and watched me land the fish. It was my first ever yellowtail and my first introduction to sport boat fishing. I thank Brian for that so much for such a great day. He's a great guy and an even better father. Many blessings from Dennis and National City.
Wow.
That was on the Mission Bell. And we were sitting at the upper end of Genoa. I remember we caught yellowtail and barracuda at the rock pile. And we got to the upper end of Genoa. And Booger still owned it.
Okay.
And those yellowtail were showing good. And they weren't eating the plug, but they were biting fly line. And so, you know, I was hooking in hand and to whoever didn't have one.
Yeah.
And so 5 years later, I'm waiting at the airport to travel somewhere with my wife and son, and this TSA guy goes, how's fishing? And I'm there, oh, fishing's good, you know, we've been this and that. He goes, you don't remember me, do you? And I go, no, I'm sorry, sir, I don't. He goes, You hooked and handed me my first yellowtail I ever caught on the Mission Bell, and your son was on board. You know, I think Sean was like 3 years old or something. And he goes, I went to Big Five, bought two outfits, and now I ride with Booger at least once a month.
Wow, that's so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, so
it's one of my highlight stories. You know, it's just
so. Speaking of the Mission Bell, that boat has such a history. So Booger used to own that.
Booger owned it, but Seaforth owned it. Yeah,
I fished with Joel Ralston aboard that boat back in the day.
Jim Hughes used to drive it before they had a pilot house on
it. Who owned it back then?
I think Seaforth owned it.
Seaforth.
You know, because a lot of the boats back then were landing owned.
Yeah.
We're landing on.
And then after Booger, that's when Steve.
Yeah, after Booger, that's when Steve bought it. So the Sea Watch down there, you used to be run out of IB Pier.
Okay.
And what was the name? It wasn't the City of IB. It was, I forget the name. I'm getting older. But, like, the Sea Watch used to be one of the boats that ran out of IB Pier and would do half-day trips to the Coronados.
Did I hear that Roy Rose's dad used to drive a boat out of Imperial Beach Pier? Is that true?
So, Ship Ahoy, Roy's dad was Navy, right?
Okay.
And so he, before Ray Sobiak drove the Blue Dolphin, they used to have their own sport boat here. So at the landing in the Albacore days, here come the Blue Dolphin, and be full of Navy guys.
Huh.
But it was an actual sport fishing boat, set up the whole thing. And Ray Sobiak drove that before he bought the producer. Before Ray Sobiak, Roy's dad drove that. And then, so after he got out of the Navy, he started running boats out of IB Pier, fishing Yellowtail and Johnny Bass and everything. Cool. And then that boat ended up, after they stopped the pier, moving up to Mission Bay, and he ran boats out of Mission Bay. And like Roy, he's probably one of the more fishier guys. So, like up in La Jolla back then, like if the current was going out to sea, it's like, oh, we got to go fishing rockfish. Yeah. But he would take his sport boat to the inside edge of the Calve, which would now be up current of it, in there in 25 foot and have stellar bass fishing.
That's cool.
Wow.
And so that's why to this day, Roy is probably one of the fishiest kids I've ever worked with.
Really?
Well, he's not a kid. He's my age. But, you know, Roy's fishy because of his dad.
Wow, that's cool. You have a great text, huh?
Yeah, I thought so. It says, good morning, guys. What a great show, as always. Brian is such a good guy and a wealth of knowledge. I've had the pleasure to fish on the American Angler once, but I was so impressed by Brian and his crew and how they really encouraged everyone to get to know each other. It really made for a family atmosphere while on the boat. When I fish with Taro and Cameron, it's very easy to see the influence that Brian has had on both of them. My question is, how many captains has Brian helped raise up through the ranks, and how proud must you be of all of them? That's from Mike in San Diego.
I would say pales in comparison to Frank Lopresti. Frank is pretty much the father of sport fishing. It's like, it just
still to this day.
To this day,
still on it.
And so it's my deal, my crew. Yeah, I'm proud of a bunch of them. But Frank, the family tree starts from Frank, and it's still growing.
Yeah.
So Frank,
was he the first guy you worked for?
He's the first guy in San Diego.
Long range wise.
Yeah, I worked for the Godotas and on the Mustang and the Cherokee Aces and stuff is where I started, New Hustler too. And then after doing that for several years, it's like I kept on looking at Western Outdoor News and seeing the fish counts and Royal Polaris, and you know, when we'd work on overnight Mustang, New Hustler, you'd see the Royal going in and out, and it's like, man. And then Frank started helping other people get boats, the Norm Kagawas, the Tommy Robert, you know what I mean? And so I want to do this for a living. And so I looked up the number out of Western Outdoor News, and I called the office. And he says, meet me January 3rd in my office at this time. And he had done some homework, called around, like who I work for and all that kind of thing. So when I went to his office, he goes, when do you want to start? And I go, well, I'm committed as second captain of the New Hustler this summer. He goes, September 22nd on an 8-day trip. I'll see you then. 9 months later.
Wow.
At first, he tried to put me on the Royal Star, and I'm there, no. I came here to work on the Royal Polaris, on that boat. And so,
who was running as the Royal Star back then? Jack Webster?
No, Norm's brother.
Norm's brother.
Yeah, David Kagawa.
Oh.
And then it after Dave got diabetes real bad, he worked at the tackle shop. Was that before you, Rick?
Just before, yeah.
And
yeah,
then that's Jack, and then eventually Tim.
Wow. Wow. A lot of history.
Yeah, no
for
doubt.
For sure. Hey, Brian in San Diego says, great show. If anyone ever wanted to describe a true fisherman, sounds like the answer would be Brian. A very enjoyable show to listen to, and you can close your eyes and just imagine all the stories he is telling. I can only hope that when I retire, I'll be able to fish with him.
You know, I think it comes with age. You know, you always hear that, oh, the old guys are just BS and this and that. But it's like after a while, it's, you know, you want to share these experiences with the younger guys and hopefully find some kids that are open-minded enough to actually listen and, you know, pass along the knowledge. Because, you know, after a while, all of us, the three of us here, you know, the knowledge that we've gained, it's going to go away. And it's, you know, that's you're talking about Brandon Hayward earlier in the bite. It's like him like interviewing Loomis and all these different guys. It's like, you know, you appreciate it because, you know, it's,
you never know.
Yeah.
You don't get, a lot of times you don't get to appreciate things until they're gone.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I had several, you know, texts that came through on my phone, and the first one was from a good buddy, Andy Horner, who says, please tell Kiyohara that there's much love out here from Idaho. What a great dude. And wow. Miss Fishing with us. That's from our...
I'm wearing my Mirage sweater.
Yeah.
All that. So thanks, Andy, for that. And then a second one was... Hey, Rick, I can't get through. Can you please thank Keo, Lori, and Ray, and my partner, Wes, for putting this 10-day on the books? Can't wait. American Angler Rocks. And that's from my buddy, Ken Corwin.
Ken Corwin. All right. Hey, a good one from another buddy, the lobster guru himself, Jim Salazar. He says, thank you to Brian for explaining perfectly the biggest problem with prosecuting poachers. And that's the legal system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
got to be. You don't think about that, but you think about how frustrating that is for
a
hardworking Department of Fish and Wildlife.
You know, commercially in sport, it's like we all bear the same problem.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of theft, a lot of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
A lot of shady things happen at nighttime. A
lot of that going on. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, as the show winds down... the trip you're going to be running, if somebody wants to go fishing with you...
The 10th.
December the 10th.
Yeah.
And there's a spot left on that?
A couple.
Like if anybody listens and really wants to spend some time, some quality time with Captain Brian Kiyohara, grab that spot on the American Angler.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you have another one on the 1st, right?
Sunday. Is that the 1st?
It'll be the 30th, I believe.
Yeah. So Ray leaves,
Yeah, the 30th of November. Yeah, and then, of course, that one with Ken on January 3rd. That would be a good one, too. So.
Yeah, all regulars, Ken Corwin, there'll be a lot of just knowledge on the boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys aren't the type where, you know, they're experts or anything.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're...
But don't be intimidated by that.
Yeah, do not be intimidated.
Yeah,
they're
if you're
all
a first-timer, if you've never been, I can't think of a better place to be.
Very, very, very helpful and good people.
Oh, yeah.
And just good people. And
oh, yeah. So even if you're not a regular, you're still welcome to go on that boat.
Yeah.
I love fishing with you guys.
Yeah. Well said. Well, as you can hear, we got a great show going. When we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the Mission Bell. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Enter into fall with powerful deals on new Yamaha outboards during Yamaha's Fall into Savings sales event. From now until December 8th, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 30 to 450 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of coverage protection plus up to $500 in dealer credit for 150 to 450 horsepower outboards. Looking for lower horsepower? Yamaha's got you covered. Purchase a new eligible Yamaha 2.5 to 25 horsepower Yamaha outboard and receive up to $700 in dealer credit. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends December 8th, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24 or 36-month Yamaha extended service contracts added to factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24 or 36-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Three kayaks, six surfboards, 10 rods, and one truck bound for Baja. That's where my brother and I's most recent quest into the Baja Peninsula began, in search of waves, fish, and fun. We are able to transport all the kayaks, rods, and boards without straps due to the easy transportation of the Hobie iTrack inflatable kayaks. We brought a tandem and two singles, the I-9 and 11, and they were totally enough to get all six of the boys onto some of the best halibut and grouper fishing of their lives. Now, you might be thinking, three kayaks? I thought a tandem and two singles would only be able to fit four people. Well, a simple lawn chair on the back of the kayak was enough to turn the two single kayaks into tandems. Catching upwards of 100 fish a day in the mangroves, ranging from 15-pound grouper to tons of legal halibut, we had our fill and headed back to the States. Check out the full video of this trip on our YouTube channel, Fastlane SC, or come by our shop in Mission Bay and check out a Hobie inflatable kayak. See you soon.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about my fishing buddy, Dan Hume, and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems. Not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check Hume Termite.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently delivered deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver. Or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters, and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great time this morning talking fishing. Now it's time to find out who's going fishing on the Mission Bell. Brian's going to do us the honor, put the prize coin. Today we have a texter. Congratulations to Alex and Santee. You are going fishing on board that beautiful Mission Bell, as well as getting yourself a 2026 CCA sport fishing calendar.
Yeah, hey, congratulations. It's Brian. What a great show.
Thank you, Brian. Super fun.
Somebody wants to go on the American Angler. We actually have opportunity here doing a great time
of
the year, right?
Email Lori, AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
Yeah, and you can book right online.
You can book online. Yeah. But for the full experience,
Call Lori.
Yeah, 619-224-5414.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're around, too, if you want to come down docks.
Yeah.
Kind of have a chat with Brian.
Pretty much every day.
See you in the afternoon. Yeah. Usually, or at 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
Yeah, every day.
But yeah, so great to have you, Brian.
It was really, awesome, really buddy. Thank you for having me. Really enjoy it.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, and thanks to Jeff and the fans studio. We sure appreciate all his hard work, and thanks to you out there for all your texts, all your calls. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Corey and Rick will be here, because I'll be coming back from Michigan. Captain Taro Takeuchi from the Liberty will be here. That's going to be great talking Liberty. And then next Sunday, Max Louie from the Pacific Voyager out of C4 Sport Fishing is going to be here. That's going to be a couple of great shows. Next Saturday and Sunday, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.